Dog medicine. How my dog saved me from myself. This is the author, Julie Barton. For Greg, Mom, and Dad, and forever and always, for Bunker. The vital function that pets fulfill in this world hasn't fully been recognized. They keep millions of people sane. When you pet a dog or listen to a cat purring, thinking may subside for a moment and a space of stillness arises within you, a doorway into being. Eckhart Tolle. Listen with the soul hearing now, for that is the mission of story. Clarissa Pinkola Estes. Prologue. I believe that when I was suffering most dearly, the universe sent me a healer in the form of a dog. Some people laugh at this idea, think it's childish, strange, or foolish. That's fine. Others nod and know exactly what I mean. I've spent the last several years writing about my beloved Bunker. I wrote this book to share some of his wisdom because it truly was medicine to me. Thank you for trusting me to take you on this journey, be it a dog, a cat, a horse, any animal really. I hope you will see yourself and your beloved pet in this story. This is my story, but I would be willing to guess if you've picked up this book, it's a lot like your story as well. Part 1. Boiling Point, New York City, April 16, 1996. The walk from the subway to my apartment was 6 blocks, but I wasn't sure I would make it. I focused on the ground, the scuffed floor of the 4 train, the gum-strewn steps to 86th Street, the swirling black puddle at the corner of Lexington and 85th. I'd lived in Manhattan for almost a year since 1 week after graduating from college in Ohio. I'd spent that year as an assistant editor at a book publisher in Soho. My name appeared in the credits of 2 books. My boss called me his best assistant ever. I had scraped together enough money to pay my rent and bills on time. I had caring friends and supportive parents who wanted me to succeed, and I was about to have a breakdown. Only a few blocks out of the subway station, bloody thoughts descended. Walk into the path of that cab speeding up Lexington Avenue. Step in front of that oncoming bus. These were not voices in my head. They were rogue thoughts, terrible thoughts that I did not know how to control. If you passed me on the street, you would have seen a tired 20-something woman. You'd probably think I was hungover or hadn't eaten a vegetable in months, the latter being mostly accurate. I was tall, usually wearing a baggy shirt over a long black skirt and my worn-out steel-toed Doc Martens. My hair, formerly long and blonde and flowing halfway down my back, was chopped at my ears and had faded to a brown that looked mostly gray in store window reflections, the result of an ill-advised trip to the drugstore and a $3 bottle of hair dye. I rounded the corner on 82nd Street, past the brownstones with their bay windows and heavy doors, past PS 290, where I rarely saw any children. I climbed the steps to my first floor apartment, unlocked 2 security doors, turned 3 more locks, then shuffled in, finally alone. I bolted the door behind me. My apartment smelled like sour milk and dust. For a first apartment out of college, the place was fine. 2 small stacked rooms connected by a steep wooden staircase. Upstairs, exposed